Don't miss out. PropSwap has futures tickets on Green Bay selling like crazy. Green Bay odds started at 40-1, and now they've shot down to 15-1. Smart gamblers have been buying and selling Green Bay on PropSwap and are making a killing in just a few weeks. Also, right now, you can find last year's first overall pick, Arizona's quarterback, to win MVP tickets. Available on PropSwap. He's red hot, and he's led Arizona to an amazing start. Hurry, get a piece of the action. Go to PropSwap.com right now or download the PropSwap app to learn how you can start making money. PropSwap, where America buys and sells sports bets.
B-Pod Studios.
Felger.
I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
Mass.
Yeah, Mass, you stupid. S-T-O-O. Stupid Mass.
It's time for Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the program. Wednesday, October 7th, Felger and Mazz, presented by DraftKings here on 98.5, the Sports Hub simulcast across New England and the country on NBC Sports Boston. Catch us online anytime. Replays as well. It's a great product. The app, the 98.5, the Sports Hub app. Download it to your phone. Catch us live on the stream. Catch us again on the replays. And that's how you consume us. Mazz and I coming to you from our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester. Hi, Anthony.
And you?
I'm Peachy. Thank you so much. It being a little bit of a different schedule this week because the Patriots game was pushed back. Usually we talk to the big fella from the Boston Sports Journal, Greg Bedard, on Tuesday, but we'll do it today instead, and I believe he's there because I can hear him breathing heavily into the mic. Bedard.
Hello, Michael.
What's up, Greg? How are
you,
man?
Wednesday edition of Big Boy Tuesday.
So what's up, fellas?
I've heard that Greg is annoyed by the whole Patriots NFL COVID situation. You just heard Hardy in the update. I'm sure you've heard by now the Patriots had another high-profile positive result today in Stephon Gilmore, the defensive player of the year, turns up COVID positive this morning. They've shut the building today and tomorrow. They're still working remotely, and it's still on the schedule to play Sunday at 1 or 4. They actually changed that, 4 o'clock. They changed it previously, you know, weeks ago. But Sunday, Patriots, Broncos still on the board. Greg, I hear you're annoyed by this whole situation.
Yeah, I'm frankly, Mike, I'm pissed off by it all because this is just... Again, this is the NFL league office thinking that they never do anything wrong, that they make all the right decisions. Their ego is out of control. And anybody other than Mazz, who had a brain, knew it was a completely stupid decision to play this game on Monday night when we had no idea how long it would take for people to test positive. We've seen it in the White House. I mean, we know now that it takes days for these things to show up. And for the NFL to, for whatever reason, and one of the reasons might be because, God forbid, a team with a bye might have to wait 3 or 4 weeks to play in the postseason, that they just didn't postpone this game until a week 18 or week 19 was just completely colossally stupid and has put the whole NFL season at risk just because they're greedy or TV or whatever. It's just, it's idiotic. And what I think I said it last week, like, you have two of the marquee franchises. This isn't the, you know, the Broncos and the Jacksonville Jaguars that we're talking about. We're talking about the New England Patriots and the Kansas City Chiefs, the defending champions. And for them to just ignore all the science that's out there that we know of right now and put those two teams, put the Patriots on a plane, two planes, out to Kansas City to play in one day and get on the same field with the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes, was just completely idiotic.
And you felt that way at the time. And suffice it to say, I don't need to ask you that, if, you know, because the Cam Newton stuff broke over the weekend. If I were to ask you Saturday morning, should they have played? You were a hard no at that point in time.
I said it was stupid. I said it was stupid that we're cramming it in when there were a bunch of unknowns. And, you know, now you look at the science that's developed, and it's pretty much, you know, five days after is when, you know, positive tests start showing up. And this was just dumb. They should have proceeded with an abundance of caution. They should have said, you know what, especially with what was going on in Tennessee. I mean, what the hell are we doing here? I mean, Tennessee's out of control. Who knows when they're going to play again, if they're even going to play this season. And what do? They cram the Patriots on a plane to go out to Kansas City. Stephon Gilmore's breathing and shaking hands with Patrick Mahomes after the game. One of the best players in the league, two of the best players in the league. And now, all of a sudden, now we're going to deal with the Patriots and maybe the Chiefs. And who the hell knows what else? The Raiders have a positive. Like, it's just stupid. Just pause it. Give them a week off. Push it back to week 18. And then let's see what happens. But there was no reason to rush into it. None at all.
So I do feel like Greg took a needless shot at me there in his opening statement.
Well, what were you saying last week? You didn't want it. You want to go on with it.
No, that was Murray and me mostly.
No. I did say that about Tennessee, but about the Patriots, I said I leaned toward not playing.
Oh, that's true. You're right. You did say play it if you're Tennessee.
With Tennessee.
That's right.
And then we had more tests show up during the week. So now I'll admit, Greg, on Tennessee, I was wrong. Mike, you got that? Document that.
See, there you go.
Right? See, I was wrong on Tennessee because here's what I didn't factor in at that time.
That's what sets us apart, folks. We do that thing.
So I was wrong on Tennessee, and here's what I didn't factor in, that because of the incubation period and the ripple effect, that there could be a million, you know, you end up putting an affected team on the field with a team that's not affected, and now you have a chain reaction. Once it happened to Newton, I said, well, we're not going to know till the middle of next week how many guys on the team have it. I don't think they can put them out on the field. So, Greg, I admit, I was wrong about Tennessee. I was wrong. When by the time it happened with the Patriots, I said I don't think they should play the game.
So that's
true. I'm getting the timing mixed up.
That's all right. No, that's okay.
We're talking about Tennessee.
I encourage you to rip me.
No. So by the weekend, Maz was, you know, no on Kansas City. Murray was yes on Kansas City. I was the worst of all, saying I don't know. Let me wait and see.
We put that fence right in my keister.
So I have no right to, you know, like, I was the worst of all. But to me, it was sort of, well, maybe they got it right. Maybe they could play it safely, and we'll find out in time. But if they don't, and if they didn't play it safely, and if they needlessly put people at risk, and now there's an outbreak, ooh, are they going to look bad? And now I wonder if this is the first domino. It's also possible that Gilmore caught it when Newton did, before they even got on the planes to Kansas City, and this wasn't a result of the game in Kansas City.
Sure, but either way, he got on a plane having it with other people. And so I just wonder about, you know, if you put a bunch of people who are exposed to Newton on a plane, whether they're wearing masks or not, if you're in a confined area, do you run the risk of getting it? And so I mean, if this thing gets contained to just a few guys, then the league's going to look okay. I mean, I'm not saying perfect, but okay. But history has shown us, and Greg, I think this is where you're going, that history has shown us that once you start to get positives, now all of a sudden there's a little bit of a ripple effect, and you're going to go 4 or 5 days. I mean, this is what, 2 days in a row where the Patriots have had a positive, right? Bill Murray was yesterday on the practice squad.
That's right.
Now Gilmore. So let's see. Does it stop there, or do we keep getting more? Because if we keep getting more, the league looks stupid.
So, you know, needless to say, I don't need to ask you how you feel about them not canceling the Broncos game yet. That's still on the schedule. How do you feel about that, Greg?
Oh, it's completely off the table. It goes to week 18, and the Broncos are garbage, so hopefully they don't need to play it. That it doesn't factor into the playoff seedings, but they're not playing on Sunday. It's just it cannot happen. Not after Tennessee and now this. Like now you just have to say okay. And the Patriots had the bye week after this. Like, let's just take a breath. Like, again, I come back to, what the hell is the rush? Like, that's been my whole issue. You could play the Super Bowl a month after. You can push things back. The NFL has always, from the beginning of this entire thing, have had the benefit of time. Yet they refused to take it, ever. And if this spirals out of control and the season is truncated and it's over, like, it's the NFL's own fault because of its own arrogance, which we see time and time again.
To me, the whole pushing it back thing, the refusal to do so, I never understood. Like, I get them wanting to keep 16 games and the full playoff inventory, because that's money. Yep. Like, okay, you want to fight for your product and all the product you can deliver in 16 weeks. Like, that I get. I don't get why they were so horny to start on September 10th versus September 17th versus September 24th, or have the Super Bowl on February 2nd versus the 9th or the 16th. You know, like, I don't get.
I think it's fear of the unknown and what, you know, get that money now. Like, get the inventory now, because who knows how bad it's going to be a couple of weeks down the road, a couple of months down the road. It could be worse and everything might have to be all shut down, so let's get these games in while we can.
So maybe there's the answer. So maybe that's that. But either way, Greg, you know, you say that's it. You know, they're not playing Sunday. Take a breath. Would it surprise you if they do go ahead and play it?
Of course not. I never underestimate the arrogance of the NFL, ever.
That's why
it's stupidity.
Well, that's why, Greg, as you said, they don't play this week. I said, I'm not convinced that's going to happen.
Yeah, me neither.
I think there's still a chance, Greg, they play this game.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so there's that item. Obviously, that'll be a big topic of conversation all day long with Greg and otherwise. You can join us with your thoughts at 617-779-0985. Part two, the Patriots, how they looked in Kansas City, and the quarterback situation. What was more concerning to you, Greg? Brian Hoyer's play or Jared Stidham's play?
Well, that's a good question if you put it that way.
Thank you.
And I hate answering this in a certain way because it's going to be like the scene in A Few Good Men when they're like, was there any sign of violence? You mean other than the dead body? Because, you know, out and again, I know this is going to sound stupid. Outside of the three plays where Brian Hoyer was basically decapitated and was walking around bumping into things, the two sacks and the interception, he actually he did his job.
Greg, I kind of said that yesterday.
Yes, absolutely.
He delivered what I thought and almost kind of what they needed other than those plays.
Yes. And I mean, he captained three 13-play drives. Or I think he had two of them, and they had three. But, I mean, they were doing he had three 13-play drives. I mean, you're not terrible and incapable of being a quarterback in the NFL if you can do that three times in three quarters against the defending Super Bowl champions. So he was playing representative football. But you have to ask yourself the question, and I think the Patriots have been asking, is that who he is? Is he just, he can do that, but at some point he's going to vomit all over himself and it's going to cost us the game, which it did on Monday night. But I thought Hoyer overall played better than Stidham. Stidham outside the touchdown, I thought he was terrible.
Explain.
Well, I mean, He had happy feet. He was panicky. His deep passes were late, high. Now, I will say, in defense of both of these guys, especially Stidham, because, you know, he's been inactive for 3 weeks. He's only been the scout team quarterback. Basically, Belichick didn't want to even look at him until, you know, Hoyer took that strip sack and just left him with no other choice. But Stidham was, he wasn't good. And, I just think that it's a tough situation. I will also say this, Brian Hoyer got zero snaps in practice last week, zero. And it was also the game circumstances, thing like that. But I think where some of the Patriots are is that this is who Brian Hoyer is. And it's who he's always been. It's why he's on his like seventh or eighth team, is because at some point he's going to trip and fall, and he's going to cost the team in the biggest spot. And so for that reason, I think it's likely that they go with Jared Stidham if they play this weekend, which they shouldn't. But if they do, I think it behooves them to give Stidham a whole week worth of reps, which he won't get now because of COVID, and give him a chance to see what he can do and then sort of make a better judgment. But if I'm the Patriots, I'm starting to make other options as far as who's out there veteran wise, who can I sign to the practice squad? Because if what we saw on Monday night is representative of what they're going to be, even with more practice, it's not good enough. And they're not making the playoffs if Cam Newton makes any, if he misses any extended time.
So Greg, just to be clear, you believe Hoyer was the better quarterback?
Again, it depends. Yeah,
no, just a yes or no. I didn't say good.
Yes,
I said
yes.
Better.
Representative. Yeah. From play to play. Yes. I thought Hoyer was better.
Mike.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. And I said the same thing yesterday, which is, as I think we can all agree, is now akin to saying, you know, other than that iceberg, the Titanic was doing okay.
No. I mean,
it was a great voyage.
How was the play, Mrs. Lincoln? Like,
yeah, know, totally.
That sort of thing. Like,
yeah,
you know,
totally.
Basically.
I mean, you know,
other
up
than
until
the ending, the play was great.
Up until we hit that iceberg, it was all good, man. It was a great party.
So, really not a laughing matter. Your thoughts on COVID, the Patriots, and boy, am I on a roll with my predictions? I'd spent all last week telling you they're not going to run into this kind of thing. They're too well run. It's too much of a tight ship. All the dumb organizations are the ones that are going to have to deal with this. Now the Patriots are bordering on an outbreak. We're not there yet. It's only 2-3 cases, but they're starting to head in that direction. And so what does that say about them? What does it say about those players? What does it say about the league and their insistence on pushing forward with this season and this schedule? All the leftover football stuff from Monday night in Kansas City with the big boy and your calls at 617-779-0985.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go, on the Sports Hub app.
So you're a business that's thriving, but then, oh, don't just bounce back. Bounce forward with serious and reliable gig speed internet. But is it secure? Sure, it's secure.
So how do I do this?
We do this together. Bounce forward with Comcast Business.
Felger and Mass, number one, because they know how to build winning relationships.
The players are arrogant dirtbags.
Dingbat.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Is the NFL prepared for the possibility that everything might have to get pushed back, that they literally might just have to, in order to be able to reschedule games after teams have had their buys, that they may have to push things back to the point that the Super Bowl winds up being played a week or two or something like that later than planned?
It's a possibility. The league, before the season started, they did make sure that the Super Bowl site in Tampa is open throughout the month of February in case they do have to push it back. They'd rather not. Like, there's been some talk about this sort of establishing a week 18 where any rescheduled games could kind of be dumped into at the end of the season and then pushing the playoffs back a week, maybe even taking out the bye week between the conference championship games and the Super Bowl, all been discussed. That's not a preferred option, because if you do add that extra week right at the beginning of the postseason, your number one seeds will effectively have 3 weeks off because they will have, you know, that week and then the bye week, so they don't necessarily.
I just have a
that.
Second here, yeah. But I know that people are screaming at the television, how about bubble situations? Is there any realistic bubble circumstance for the NFL?
Just checked within the last half hour, being told that is not under consideration. The league and the union believe these protocols will work if followed, and they believe that what we're seeing is a result of them not being followed.
Hey, Dan Graziano on this morning. League doesn't want to push games back, doesn't want a week 18, wants to keep pushing ahead. No bubbles, no hotels. The protocols they've put in place are good enough. It's just the teams and the players are violating them. So the implication there being, Greg, that the Patriots have violated some protocols. You think that's possible?
It's possible, but I think it's BS that the league, and this went on, there was a conference call with Sills, the medical director of the NFL, with the teams, and basically, and this should surprise absolutely no one, the league office was blaming the teams, basically, for what's been going on. And by the way, all right, that clip just, it almost made me pop a blood vessel. This stuff about the bye week and the number one seed. Are you freaking kidding me? Like, what are we doing here? Like, we just, no one played a preseason game and you started the NFL season. Who gives a crap if the number one team has to wait a month to start? Figure it out. Practice, scrimmage, I don't know. Play some loser team that didn't make the playoffs. I don't care. But it's not about, oh, well, we don't want, that's not, just schedule week 18 and 19 and just get it over with so we can get an NFL season and deal with this, and so it doesn't spiral out of control. Freaking morons.
Well, it's just the NFL thinks that their bye schedule and their slate is more important than the pandemic.
Oh, yeah. No.
Like, there's nothing more important than the fact that one team might have one bye week and another team might have two. We can't have that.
Talk about a myopic view of the world.
Wow.
Really, right? Like, it's all about the NFL schedule. The other 35 weeks of the year don't matter.
We all revolve around the NFL schedule.
Absolutely, right. It is our sun, Mike.
Peter King wrote about this on Monday, and I almost, like, keeled over when I read it. Because I know he's getting that from some moron in the league office directly. And then, all of a sudden, did you see Chris Mortensen's tweet?
You sent it to us, but why don't you read it to the people if you have it?
So, the Chris Mortensen, October 5th. So, this is, Monday? Monday. Before they even played this debacle of a game on Monday. From longtime team executive who says he echoes what many other team execs believe. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell has earned fair share of criticism over years, but his leadership in managing the pandemic crisis and social justice issues have been his Hall of Fame moment. Are you freaking kidding me? Who are these people? Like, do they walk around and smell each other's farts at the league office? Like, what is... I'm going to lose it.
Okay, let's get your thoughts out there. We'll continue with Bedard. He's on a roll. Stephen Portland, go.
That's so irresponsible. They should have just killed the full conference games and just do a 12-game schedule and just do a bubble thing.
Okay, so I'm just going to stop you, Steve. Thank you for the call. I don't mean to cut you off so quickly. I don't blame them for not wanting to give back inventory. Okay? Like, them trying to fight for 16 games, I'm fine with. I don't get why you can't push back into January or February. And maybe I can't remember who just said it now, Murray, that, you know, maybe they think it's going to be worse in January, February, and they'll get nothing out of it. So, like, I get it, but they really do have all the time in the world. They can play that game in Tampa whenever they want.
Sure.
So they really can push it
back. Play it in April.
Push it back, take all the time that they need. And, you know, to the point where they can even sort of let the COVID go through the league a little bit. And I say a little bit, but, you know, because there is, and now, and again, we're learning, and I don't know this isn't a definitive statement, but there is some level of immunity once you've had it, and there's a different level there. There's a different, you know, just sort of status once you're there, and you can play into February, March, and you can do all that. And they're so dead set on not doing that.
So if it's not panic about the unknown of the future, then the other thing is it's pressure politically. It's got to be.
So I wonder about that element, too.
Trump saying you got to keep playing?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I wonder about that, too. That popped into my head, too. I can't lie to you about that. I thought about that, too. That there's an allegiance to Trump on the part of a lot of these owners, and that, you know, it's an election year, and Trump is saying, do not stop the football. Do not stop. You just plow right ahead.
Interesting. Tommy in the car on the football. Go ahead, Tommy.
Hi, guys. Listen, Greg, I just want to tell you, I really like listening to you. I admire your opinion. I admire your honesty. But I got to tell you something. Don't get mad at me. Don't get arrogant. Brian Hoyer sucks, okay? If you think he's better than Jarrett Stidham, you guys should be piss tested, okay?
We prefer the hair follicles. It's far Maybe. More it's far more accurate. Go ahead, Greg. You want to respond?
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm not going to – it wasn't that big of a difference that I'm really going to disagree. I mean, look. Like I said, he had three plays where he was basically decapitated and bumping into other players and had no idea where he was. And that's just not acceptable for a 12-year veteran. And the team was counting on him to deliver in those circumstances. And all he had to do was just take a knee or throw the ball away or whatever and just get them a couple field goals. And they would have been right in that game. And you know, and his actions let down a lot of coaches and a lot of players in that game. But, you know, look, there were more plays than just three plays. And it's hard to dismiss three 13-play drives. That is on the road, on what kind of week they had, traveling the day of the game. Like, that's significant. But, yeah, I do – look, I side with the caller. I side with a lot of callers where I think if I were in charge of the Patriots, I would – again, we're in a situation where they're not even going to have practice until Friday, even if they do. But if they did, I would give Jarrett Stidham all the virtual reps he can get on Zoom in the next couple of days because this is where we are right now.
A part of me would be surprised if Belichick went with Stidham.
Me too.
I'd be surprised. I just think Bill has more of a known commodity in Hoyer.
And he'd say
Tony,
to Brian,
I think you're underestimating
the effect of Monday night on the coach?
Well, the reaction that he might have had to the end of the half and the strip sack. Like, you know, there are people around the team who I'm not going to speak for Belichick, but I'm just saying.
What do you know,
like,
Greg? What do you know? You're sitting on something.
There are people around the team who were, you know, really pissed off. And by the way, I tweeted this out. I didn't realize the reaction of the sideline to the sack before halftime.
Oh, they were
but
pissed.
You could see it on the TV copy. I mean, coaches
stomping
players,
they were stomping.
You never see that.
Josh McDaniels stomped. He was like stomping. Oh, they were pissed. And so what Greg is sort of couching, that, you know, that might have been the kiss of death, those two plays for Belichick. He holds it against them, and he'll never get, you know, once Bill's got it in for you, you're done. It's
death
over.
Sentence.
Death sentence.
Mike,
yeah.
That is a sin worthy of the that is SOCCON level one.
Yeah, and the thing is like, if like for Jarrett Stidham, like say Jarrett Stidham did that, like you could say, okay,
right,
well, it's his first opportunity.
Dumb rookie.
You know, but we have 12 years worth of data on Brian Hoyer. And I love Brian Hoyer. And I think that for about 54 minutes of NFL games, he can be a capable fill-in starter. But this is who he's always been. I mean, look at the Texans playoff game that he started when I think he threw five interceptions. I mean, this is just – this is who he is, and that was just – I think the final straw the other night where they're just like, well, if we go out and we walk out there and do it again, it's our own fault. We're just doing it to ourselves.
More on the game. Three up, three down coming up right after Murray's update, in which there has been breaking news across the NFL today. More COVID-related issues. Here's the latest here, and then three up, three down right after.
Don't miss out. PropSwap has futures tickets on Green Bay selling like crazy. Green Bay odds started at 40-1, and now they've shot down to 15-1. Smart gamblers have been buying and selling Green Bay on PropSwap and are making a killing in just a few weeks. Also, right now, you can find last year's first overall pick, Arizona's quarterback, to win MVP tickets. Available on PropSwap. He's red hot, and he's led Arizona to an amazing start. Hurry, get a piece of the action. Go to PropSwap.com right now or download the PropSwap app to learn how you can start making money. PropSwap, where America buys and sells sports bets.
It's the show the crowd goes wild for.
Ooh, boo.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now, it's time for three up.
Dives to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
Nice call.
And three down.
I don't even understand the call. You're trying to go vertical on third and four. I'd rather run him on a slant. With his size.
With Greg Bedard of BostonSportsJournal.com. Three up.
And the Patriots have won their sixth Super Bowl title.
Three down.
He sucks.
He blows.
Here on Felger and Mez.
All right, let's get after it. Three up, three down, three studs, three duds. Mez plays along. Bedard's watched all the film, the all 22 going over his charts. Maz, not so much, but either way.
I get good instincts, though.
Maz, we get his instincts from his couch. So anyway, number one star, who do we got, Bedard?
I have right guard this week, Michael Owenu. I thought he was great. He was the best on the offensive line. He gave up no pressure. He's been outstanding, and his play in that of the offensive line starts me thinking maybe a Joe Tooney trade at some point, maybe.
Oh, I do like that guy. He's a load, too. Yeah. Did you get a good look at him? He's a load.
Big.
Oh, do I love him. God, seriously. I went Gilmore. I thought Gilmore had his best game of the year. I thought he was really good, and he was a ball hawk on top of it. And I've been waiting for the real Gilmore to show up, and I thought in this game he did. And as it turns out, he might have been doing it while catching his breath.
I was going to say, you could even say his play, Maz, was infectious. Second star there, Bedard. Go ahead.
Edith Felger, Lawrence guy.
Automatic.
If he doesn't do his best Richard Seymour impersonation and hold up blockers and stop the run by himself at times, that defense that they used against the Chiefs the other night cannot work. So I thought, hey, look, there were a bunch of guys that you could put up there, Chase Winovich, Dietrich Wise. But I thought Guy was the standout inside.
Oh, I know. I said this yesterday. It was clear, and I didn't watch it, you know, back like you did, but it was just obvious that they were dumping so many guys in coverage, and even on first, second down, that stopping the run and containing Mahomes was all up to the guys up front, and it wasn't like there were extra guys. It was three, four guys. They almost never blitzed, right, Greg?
Yeah, they only blitzed twice in the whole game. Most of the time, they almost rushed three as many times as they rushed four.
Okay, so it was mostly three-man fronts, three, four-man fronts, all up to them to stop the run and not let Mahomes get out, and they did it. They did a great job up front.
Only two blitzes. See, that's a great game plan because that's a way to play that guy. I went Winovich second. I thought Winovich was terrific. He's getting better every week, too. He's making plays, you know, and they are big, impactful plays in the game. I went Winovich.
Third star.
Gilmore. It was good to have him back. That punch out was just huge on that spot of the field. He did a great job in the game, and I think his coverage was sort of the coverage in general was just outstanding in this game in the secondary. And I thought Gilmore really brought it.
Jake Bailey,
ooh,
Robo punter. I thought he was awesome in this game. I thought both punters were awesome in this game. Didn't they each have like a 60-yard punt? The two of them. I thought they were both great. And the Chiefs guy, that one he had early was huge because they went out quick and the Patriots would have had good field position, kicked a 65-yarder. But anyway, Bailey was good.
Let's get to the duds. Number one dud.
Brian Hoyer. Don't sleep on Brian Hoyer. I think we can sleep on Brian Hoyer now. look, we talked about it. Outside of those three boneheaded plays, he actually did his role as a veteran backup. It's just he's out there to avoid those dumb plays, and he completely failed.
Hoyer, that's a runaway. It was Hoyer.
Second dud.
Stidham. great touchdown pass, but other than that, it was downhill with bad decisions, happy feet, downfield throws that were late, high, behind receivers. Do you realize, if you include the penalty where he got picked off, and that, look, even without, it was a bad throw in general. It was a terrible throw. He's thrown 18 NFL passes, and four have been caught by the opponent.
Not what you're looking for.
That's
man.
A bad ratio.
Yeah.
Stidham, he was my number two, too. I was clear. One and two of the quarterbacks. They both sucked. Jesus, were they bad.
Greg, real quick before we get to number three, what happened with Stidham? What happened? Was it – I've heard a lot of the beat guys say that it was the hip that set him behind in training camp, and he was tracking to be everything that they thought he was before he injured the hip in training camp. Is that an accurate read of the situation?
It is not accurate. And I heard this. I know at least Rappaport put this out there this weekend. I love how all of a sudden Jared Stidham might have to play. And then all of a sudden he had this hip injury that was a 2 or 3 week injury. Bull crap. It was a 2 or 3 day injury. He sat out for about 2 days. Then he got basically, he split reps with Hoyer as far as the backup. And then he lost to Hoyer on the field. Like that's what happened. It didn't have anything to do with his hip. And, you know, people around the team, they just didn't like his compete level once he came back from the injury. Like, he was fine. Like, the first couple days, he was really good. And I thought he was the best quarterback out there. Then he got the hip injury, and then he came back, and it was like almost like he was like, oh, okay. Well, I'm happy to be here now. It's Cam's job. Here you go, Cam. And that was it. He just rolled over.
Okay, so it bigger picture than just the hip. Number three dud there, Greg.
This is a little bit unfair because – but Justin Heron, the right tackle who was put in there, he did a fine job. But, I mean, he did have a lot of iffy plays in that game. And, you know, a better defensive line probably would have taken advantage of him. The Chiefs not having Chris Jones out there, I think, benefited Owenu and Heron and a bunch of other guys because there's a trickle-down effect. But he had a rough go. Wasn't terrible, but it wasn't great.
Edelman. I thought Edelman sucked in this game. And so my only question is it physical or is it mental or is it both? That's what I wonder. I mean, Maybe this is why this guy wasn't a captain. Maybe
there's an issue there.
Yeah, maybe he's half checked out. Who the hell knows? But they needed him in a game like this, especially with those quarterbacks.
When you say issue, what do you explain?
Well, first, let me say that a trip like that is on one day, waking up at 5 a.m., doing all that stuff. That's for a 35-year-old slot receiver who's taken a lot of hits, that's a really rough trip. And a guy who we know is dealing with physical stuff, even if, you know, we're not exactly sure what it is. To me, it looks like something with his right leg. I don't see him planting as well as he did, sort of a continuation maybe of the knee that we've seen in the past. But he looked like he didn't want to be out there. He's having drop issues. Normally, when guys, slot receivers start to lose it, they start dropping more and more passes. And it's been an issue. He's always had a high rate of drops compared to other receivers, but you could deal with it. Now it's becoming more of an issue. And I think the Patriots need to give serious discussion. If they don't think this is going to get better, do they try to sell relatively high on Edelman and maybe trade him to Tampa or something like that? You know, and go with Gunnar Olszewski and Jacoby Myers or whatever. It's just,
wow.
He doesn't look like he's into it. And, you know, maybe they try something else.
So we've gotten Tooney and Edelman traded this segment. Big boy, he's brought his fastball today.
Oh, no, he's pissed. Yeah, I know. He had a bad couple of days. There's no two ways about it. Yeah, he's angry.
Back to your thoughts, the COVID situation and the Patriots situation right after this in our long commercial-free segment.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz. Never be left out of the conversation.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Felger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Maz.
The guy's psychotic.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Stop it.
Shotgun snap to Hoyer in the pocket. He looks to the middle. Now he looks left. He's got to get away from Clark. Oh, and Hoyer is sacked back at the 27-yard line.
You
and the Patriots, with no timeouts,
this is unbelievable,
come away empty-handed.
you couldn't have more horrendous sequence to end the half as those two. You get tackled in bounds, you burn your last time out. Oh my God. That is, and then Hoyer signaled for timeout. How do you not know you don't have three time? You got three timeouts.
You can't do that. The only thing you can't do is take a sack or throw it in bounds. And Josh McDaniels and Belichick are livid.
And if Jared Stidham were anywhere near ready, he would have been ready to go to start that third quarter. Stidham's not ready, so they have to go back to Hoyer. Second drive of the third quarter actually leads them all the way down the field and then gets strip sacked in, you know, kind of the same spot. And Bill says to himself, I can't do this to my team. It's not fair to everyone else out here. My guy's falling apart. I got to put in the kid who's not ready. But, you know, make no mistake, Jared Stidham's not ready.
Oh, that's what I feel. Again, Greg, I just look at Stidham and I don't feel like he has command of the offense or really that he is adjusted to the speed of the NFL. He feels behind to me. And I recognize how bad Hoyer was. I think putting the kid out there is suicide. I don't know how you feel.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm that strong on it. I mean, especially if, you know, if you're not going to get any better than Hoyer, I would at least give it a look. You'd let him start, get the reps, give him a half or whatever, and then see how it looks. I don't know. It's strange with Stidham. He's very inconsistent, and you do get that sometimes from younger players, not so much from quarterbacks as much. I mean, normally they have what they have in terms of detail of the system, operating within it, timing, things like that. And just – I don't, like I said before, I mean, like he looked really good to start training camp and he looked confident. And then all of a sudden, once Cam showed that he was healthy, maybe Stidham was like, well, maybe this guy, maybe his shoulder doesn't have or his foot. And so maybe this is still my job. But then once Cam went out there and showed that he still had it, maybe that's where Stidham sort of shrinked from the spotlight a little bit. But I don't know. I would give the kid a look. I don't think it could hurt anything. And you do have Hoyer there if somebody does need to come in and operate the system.
I mean, when is the last time really they went into an NFL week where we didn't know who was going to play quarterback on Sunday?
Mm-hmm. I'm more concerned with winning the game than developing Stidham at this point. He had his chance. It sounds like he blew it. So I want them winning games. Anyway, back to your phones on everything. Slim in Detroit. Go ahead, Slim.
Yeah, hey, guys. I'm not hearing any mentions about this guy, Maurice Hurst, a tackle for the Raiders, coming up positive. Rossini put that out earlier today, and I haven't heard anything since. Is any of this relative, or is it just that he's on the list and might have been exposed? Okay, I don't know if it's real positive.
Okay, well, there's a couple you want to hit on this. Aldo and Ludlow, what's your thought on the Raiders?
Well, the Raiders, and maybe Murray can give you a little bit more, but in one of the updates, Hardy was talking about what your previous caller just said. And what if that's how Cam Newton got it or how the Patriots were exposed to it?
Okay, so let me just stop you. On the Beadle and Zolak program, they had a caller who said, again, take this for what it's worth, that they know someone that hooked up with Hurst when he was here 2 weeks ago, that there was a late-night booty call, for lack of a better term, and he snuck out of the hotel and had a hookup here locally, and whatever, that was just some jabroni caller. Here's what we do know, is that Waller, the tight end, hosted that charity event where they all showed up without masks and, you know, got fined for it. It was a real,
correct,
you know, reckless sort of situation. That was before they came out here. Who covered Waller? Stephon Gilmore, or in some of it anyway.
Right, yeah, they moved around, yeah, but he got him too.
This was Louthy's point that, Gilmore covered Waller in that game, and is it possible that the Dirty Raiders introduced it to you here in New England?
Entirely possible.
Yeah, it's plausible.
I would even say look at the timeline. Again, they were here on Sunday. Newton got tested first Friday morning, and by Friday afternoon, you knew he had it, or Friday evening. So that's 5 days. That's incubation period.
Was that Raiders charity thing before or after the game, though? I think it was after. You're right, Greg. Yep. It was after.
Before the
Patriots?
It was
right when they got back. It was probably Tuesday. Normally those things happen on Tuesday, the off day.
Yeah, it was after the Patriots game.
Still possible, though, that he got it somewhere else. I mean,
that they got it from the Raiders, who were obviously not
buttoned down. Right.
So, if it wasn't from the charity event, what would they do in the week before? obviously not the right thing based on how they were carrying themselves. But look, I don't want to blame another team. You're one of the few teams that have now had multiple positives. You're on the verge of an outbreak, and that's on you. I'm not blaming anybody else. I'm not going to do that. Last week, I gave you the benefit of the doubt. Last week, I told you because Bill runs such a tight ship and a button-down operation, and you're so professional here that you'll be the last team that has to deal with something like this. And good call, Felger, because that didn't last 48 hours before your starting quarterback and now your best defensive player are kaput. So, no, that's on you. Either those individual players or the operation itself wasn't doing the right thing. You're one of the dumb ones, not one of the smart ones. That's just a fact. That's just what it is. So, you know, stupid me to give you the benefit of the doubt. Pete in Plainville. Go ahead, Pete.
Hey, guys. The best part about Brian Hoyer's first third down debacle was when he tried to spin out of that sack like Lamar Jackson. That was pretty
Oh, my
pretty
God. Stupid. Who did you think he was?
Yeah, good grief. But the reason I called was, I get, you know, with Robert Kraft being an influential owner, why isn't he able to get in touch with Goodell and explain to him, like, look, if Newton's got it, we're watching what's happening in Tennessee unfold. Why don't we just postpone the game and then tack that on to the end of the year, and then you don't have to worry. The Chiefs are more than likely going to be the number one bye.
Okay, well, do you want a conspiracy theory based on something these guys introduced earlier? I wasn't even thinking this way till they said it. But the political ramification of it. Trump wants them to keep playing. Who's good buddies with Trump? Who's his runaround buddy in Palm Beach?
Kraft.
So I don't know.
I mean, most of these owners, right?
I wouldn't stop there.
Right, Kraft is hardly alone. But obviously an ally. So is Bill.
I actually think that, look, that's certainly all plausible. And when Murray introduced it, I was like, is he trying to get me to stroke out here on live television?
No, but, not at all, Greg. But, I mean, the guy did say at that first debate, I brought back football. You know, like, it's important, I think, and from a political standpoint, you know, for that kind of base, you know, that's something he can sell to them.
It's true. I think television is more of an influence over all this. And it's basically, you know, the NFL is, you know, TV is the NFL's daddy. I mean, whatever they want, they dance. And Chiefs-Patriots was a marquee game that CBS was supposed to have a national game on Sunday. They went so far as to screw over ESPN by putting Chiefs-Patriots on CBS National on Monday night. To me, it was TV that was driving that bus and was like, you need to play this game. And of course, Goodell said, oh, okay. And Kraft's involved in that, too. He's on the broadcast committee. He's one of the higher-ups there.
Yeah, I mean, I think Greg's right. How many times did CBS pump up the game on ESPN?
Oh, my God, they kept promoting it.
How often do you see that?
Yeah.
One network promoting another network like that. Like, I mean, they were doing it over and over and over again to make good because they got to keep ESPN happy because we know we're porking them.
Okay, we continue with your thoughts. Should they have played that game Monday in Kansas City? Has that created a spreader event? Stephon Gilmore, the latest positive test in New England. They're shut down the next 2 days. That Broncos game is still on the schedule. How do you feel about that, big boy, in 10 seconds or less?
I'm very, very angry.
you couldn't tell it by the tone of his voice, but he is. Here's Murray's up the very latest. There's quite a few developments across the league. You'll get him here in the update, then we're right back.
Don't miss out. PropSwap has futures tickets on Green Bay selling like crazy. Green Bay odds started at 40-1, and now they've shot down to 15-1. Smart gamblers have been buying and selling Green Bay on PropSwap and are making a killing in just a few weeks. Also, right now, you can find last year's first overall pick, Arizona's quarterback, to win MVP tickets. Available on PropSwap. He's red hot, and he's led Arizona to an amazing start. Hurry, get a piece of the action. Go to PropSwap.com right now or download the PropSwap app to learn how you can start making money. PropSwap, where America buys and sells sports bets.